was an interview with Dr. Edmund D. Pellegrino, director of the Kennedy Institute of Ethics at Georgetown University, May 4th, 1987.
About the state university system as a whole, that Governor Rockefeller had made clear, and it particularly came clear in Sam Gold's statements about his hopes. That was reinforced when I went to Stony Brook, and the breadth of vision there of what that would be, the opportunity to start with a university, a whole university from scratch, and in the very earliest days of that university to integrate a health science center, which was planned to be and was in fact the largest single health science center ever put together from scratch anywhere in the world. That was the challenge that was being presented to me. And the opportunity to develop the medical and health science center, really with six schools then as we counted it, was,
what were the six schools?
They were medicine, dentistry, nursing, allied health, social welfare, and basic health sciences. At that time, we were talking about basic health sciences as a separate school, which, by the way, I still think is a good idea, although it has been changed. And so I think it's the breadth of vision. It also came at the right time in my own career. I had had two previous experiences in starting from absolute ground zero, planning, one case in New Jersey. We started with what was essentially an old tomato field and put up a hospital, and in Kentucky it was a tobacco field. And here at Stony Brook, I think we had approximately 200 to 250 acres of scrub oak and scrub pine that had to be created into a health science center. So it appealed to what I had done before, to my great interest in starting from scratch, particularly the new campus, new canvas idea, and coordinating that with a very large vision. My large vision of what health science centers ought to be coincided with the large vision of what Stony Brook was to be, the comprehensive university center for SUNY and for what SUNY was at that time. So the hopes are high, the expectations are high, and there was a very easy conjunction between my interests and ambitions, if you will, and Stony Brook.
Well, I think that's one reason that the Muir Commission report said that the first comprehensive health science center should be built in Stony Brook. A new institution, the administration was not yet set in concrete.
That's right.
And the hope was that the two could be integrated.
That's correct. That is correct. And I think, of course, to say the Muir Commission report was also, as I got to learn about it subsequently, was also a very potent document for setting forth what, in fact, were a range of possibilities that
right.
were really open for those of us who came to work with it.
That's number seven, I think.
Yes.
All right, what about eight? Give us your impressions of Stony Brook when you first came.
Well, of course, the impressions were of a campus in the state of being born. And obviously in an unsettled state, obviously the future waiting to be shaped. But to me, that was attraction rather than repulsion, because I'm not uncomfortable with new circumstances and like that. Obviously, if I didn't think highly of the people, I wouldn't have joined them, because at that time, I repeat again without blushing, I was under a considerable amount of demand from a lot of institutions around the country because of things I had done and so on. But I felt that I liked the people I met at Stony Brook. We shared a lot of views with different people, and obviously we had different values, and that became obvious subsequently. But it was clear even then, but I didn't feel that that was in any way a negative. And I liked the quality of the people, and particularly the aspirations for the kinds of quality of people that they would get, and from my point of view, would commit me to recruit on the basis of quality.
How did you proceed? I think you've answered both 9 and 10 and 11. Now, I've had no picture thus far from anyone with whom I've conversed of just how the Health Sciences Center was conceived and implemented. You're the person who
yes.
has to do that.
Well, to start with the Muir Commission report.
Right.
We took that as the very broadest of mandates. The development of a comprehensive, multi-school Health Science Center within the framework of a comprehensive university. That's as far as she went. And so from there, we've got to do this very briefly. Really the task was, how do you make that a reality? And that's what I was, to answer the question, well, why was I brought there? That's what I thought I was brought to do.
Right.
And I think that the way I proceeded was as follows. It happened, and I think it must be pointed out, that Al Knutson was already there, had been hired by Bentley Glass to assist him. And therefore, right from the beginning, I had someone I could work with. And Al Knutson and I sat down and went through a conceptual exercise of what we thought would be the concrete expression in the six schools of this overarching general principle of organization that an aim and objective of Stony Brook. And so what we did is we did not make great use of consultants. One of the first things I did, rightly or wrongly, was to get rid of the consultants at Ghost Lion Company. Both Al Knutson and I thought were a drag rather than a help. And we had confidence in our own ideas. And it wasn't that we didn't want consultants. I'll tell you later how we used consultants. But the idea that we would have a group called Ghost Lion Company who would somehow do more planning was offensive to both of us. Because what turned out was we would sit down with them for 3 days and tell them what we thought, and they'd come back and give us what we had told them in not as good prose that we could generate. So we decided this was a useless enterprise. Therefore, he and I sat down together and, without going into detail, put together what we thought were the challenges in medical education and nursing and so on in each of those fields. What were the issues and the problems the country was likely to face over the next 20 years? What were the needs for health care in the country and in the state of New York, particularly? That was our major focus. And how would you meet them? And what in the existing programs was consistent with meeting those problems, and what was not? What were impediments and how we would get around them? Now, that's a whole story of great length to go into the details of that, but that's what we did. And we set that down on paper. So we have in large volumes, which we put together, our thoughts.
I've seen that.
Right, okay.
I don't know how many volumes you have.
That's right. Well, the first thing we did have, after we did the ideas, our audit procedure was first ideas and concept. Then we said, now, how is that to be expressed physically? And Al and I together, in 1 year, wrote the program. I think it was 12,000 pages of what every building, every room in the structure would have functionally, obviously not in design terms, but functionally, what the purpose would be, what its equipment would be, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How and what we would need in the way of structures for teaching, for research, and for patient care, including the hospital, the medical school, the other school. And this we accomplished, say, in 9 months, and we're ready to hand that over to the architect once the architect is appointed by the peculiar, almost pathological process of appointment of architects that was characteristic of SUNY at the time. A disordered procedure that only that kind of mind could invent, but at least an architect did emerge with whom we were able to work.
You never dealt with public works. You dealt only with the construction fund.
We dealt only with the construction fund, that is correct. And then at those many times when we became frustrated with them, we went directly to the chancellor, or in my case, as asking here whom we dealt with, I was bold enough to go directly to the legislature and to take my case.
How were you able to get an invitation to address it?
It was interesting. All I can say is that we made enough contact. What we did in that respect calls for lofty, but I think it's worth saying. I think it's important to realize that you could not do something like the Health Sciences Center if you stayed entirely within the bureaucratic structures, assuming it would have been impossible. At least I judged it so. And so I took a certain number of liberties for which I make no apology whatever. And one of them was to invite legislative office in the Suffolk community to visit with us to see what we were doing when we had nothing to ask them for. Simply say, this is where we are, you're spending money, you're putting money into this. This is what we're doing. And particularly, I would go from time to time to visit Perry Duryea, the speaker, whatever his position was at the time, but also the local representatives in the legislature.
To bring in Lee Dennison?
We talked to Lee Dennison. I talked to everybody. In 1 year, to give you an indication of my wanderings around Long Island, in 1 year, we put in 30,000 miles of state car on Long Island, just going to meetings and talking to hospitals, because I think in many ways, in all fairness to the present university, the number of contacts I had to make was broader than anyone else in the institution. This is not to inflate myself, but I had to talk to hospital people, to administrators, to universities, to legislators, to just plain ordinary public groups interested in the hospital and the health sciences, which was such a hot topic at that time.
Yes, I remember you talking to the trustees at Mather.
Yes, that's right. That's an example. And yes. I did, every two or three nights a week, I'd be out talking to boards of trustees, to professional staff. And as a consequence, I think one of the remarkable things about Stony Brook is that we never had any conflict with the practicing community. That is unusual for a new medical school, I can tell you.
Right.
And that was a result of... So, and anyway, those kinds of informal contacts, so that when I had problems, it was easy for me to talk to legislators who would then say, well, we'll arrange for you to see so-and-so. But I think some would say those methods were not justifiable, but I never paid much attention to that. I had to get the job done, which is to get that health sciences center off the ground.
Right. Did you have anything to do with Norman Herd?
Well, I was seeing him from time to time in the Division of the Budget. It developed after a while that I was dealing directly with the Division of the Budget. They would often call me for information, for data and so on, which they really couldn't get very accurately through the university. And so we would provide it directly for them and go up and visit with them and explain it. Health Sciences Center is a complex undertaking. It can't be judged by the usual standards of university, and most people who are familiar with university financing know nothing about the different kind of financing that goes with the Health Sciences Center, particularly clinical faculties, hospital operations, all of which we had to plan for, of course. I want to emphasize, we were putting together the largest single health science center ever put together anywhere at any time in one place. Their existing centers are bigger, but they've grown over 30, 40, 50, 100 years.
Right.
We did this in a period of 5, 6, or 7. So we had to cover a lot of territory in a short period.
Right. Right. How did you select the architect, or how are you?
I had no part in the selection of the architect, whatever. That's what I meant by the peculiar process, the construction fund.
Did you work with George Dudley at all?
No, not particularly. It was largely with Tony Adnolfi.
I see.
When Tony was in charge.
And he's dead.
And he's dead, I know. He died, in fact, even before I left the center. Tony seemed to understand the vision of what we were doing, and it is he who brought us Birch and Goldberg.
That's right.
And I had no reason to object to both Birch and had no. But certainly did not enter into what I would have considered the proper way to approach it when you've got the person who's going to have the major responsibility for putting it together, or to be involved in looking at a half a dozen or a dozen architects. But I did subsequently, when I went to Yale as the president of the medical center there, we had a new $75 million building to put up, and we had a process for reviewing architects, having them submit plans, models, look at their work, and so on. We were completely excluded from that. But as it turned out, Mr. Goldberg, as he is and was, truly an outstanding architect, and we were pleased to work with him. Although we differed, as any strong-willed director like myself and a strong-willed architect will do. We always likened ourselves to Pope Julius and Michelangelo. And I had the role of Pope Julius.
Well, now, was that architect a specialist in building a health center?
No, he had minimal experience in that and had done hospitals, and even that not very extensively, and certainly no health sciences center. So that in many ways it was an educational process for Bud. But again, I want to emphasize he's a highly imaginative, very creative person, and we worked closely with him. We worked with the principal, which is one thing I think is not always the case, and had many, many meetings with him. And I think on the whole, I would say it was a good relationship. Any relationship with an architect is always bound to be somewhat stormy if you have ideas. If you're just a passive person, then of course you accept what they say, but we were not of that order, neither Alkenitz nor I.
Yeah, right. What can you say about the architecture of the structure?
Well, I think there are several things about the conception of the plan that are, I think, problematic as one looks back at it. My preference had been for a multi-building medical campus, which would be perhaps more traditional and more classical than the one that eventuated, in which we were trying to put together. We had the basic notion of linking the basic sciences with the clinical sciences with the hospital, and the hospital with the outpatient, and the outpatient with the community. A gradation of functions, and that came out of Knudsen's head and mine. And we said, now this is what we want put into physical three-dimensional spaces, functionally. I'm not going to tell you what kind of design, but these are the functional things that make a complex like thing like this work. And I think both Al and I were quite convinced that a multi-building structure, some kind of a
many
campus, would have, with proper relationships, would have been preferable. Not many, but a limited number. And also, that it would enable us to phase the building of the project. So we could do a building, occupy that, get going, the next building, and so on, so that we would have a plan that would enable us to get going early. Knudsen and I are both doers, and our job is to get that going. And we knew we could get a school going, because after all, 1966, we came there. By the end of 67, even before that, we had the whole program written. Now, the architect then had to go into plans, but we could have had that center opened 2 or 3 years before it was, or not for the cumbersome bureaucracy of Albany.
Yeah.
In fact, we finished it, and the architect finished it, and went out to bids. And when I first entered, they told me we had $165 million, and we came in with a plan which used only $135 million. I said, that's fine, that's what we need at this point. We can hold $30 million for future expansion, that's fine. But the delays in decision-making in Albany, of course, protracted that with inflation at the rate of 1.5% per month for structures at that time, so that the end result of the delay was to result in about 25% less space and an enormous increase in the cost from $135 million to $250 million. Give us. So that this is a commentary that I would like to have already spoken of before, certainly already part of the history, those structures and so on, just in terms of the planning, were greatly impeded by the bureaucracy, the New York State bureaucracy.
Now, is that university bureaucracy only, or is it the budget, the legislature?
Well, it's hard for me to put my finger on it, but my impression was that the greatest impediment was in the construction fund. And that there were other agendas, and that Stony Brook wasn't highest on their agenda, and that was one of the things we had to fight. I think the legislature was really at the mercy of what was brought to them by the university and the division's budget. So my quarrel was always with them. I never had difficulty with the legislature. And if I could get to the legislature, we generally could get what we wanted.
Did you talk to Rockefeller at all?
Never, never. And didn't seek him out. I didn't think that was crucial.
Well, you were dealing with Sam Gould.
Yes.
Ernie Boyer at all?
Oh, yes, of course. Of course. Directly with them.
Yeah.
Many times.
Larry Murray?
Larry Murray, yes. Yes. Ellen Stevens. Other people in the architect's office. Some were helpful, some were not. But, I think the greatest blow came when we were told, without warning, when all of this was ready to go, that actually the money which had been set aside in a bond issue for the health sciences in Stony Brook had been spent on something else. And that was a bit of a blow. Raised some questions of morality and legality, which I wasn't in a position to pursue. And that actually we had to go back to the legislature for appropriation. Well, this was very different from what I wanted. That's on one of your questions, what were my expectations and what were things that didn't pan out. But certainly my expectation was, this is from Larry Murray, when I first arrived, that there was $135 million for immediate use and another $30 million for later use. We fulfilled that obligation, came in at $135 million as requested, and then to find that none of that was secure, that it was being used for community colleges and other purposes, probably very legitimate from SUNY's point of view, but very dubious from the point of view of the intent, at least the question I raised, of the legislature of the bond issue.
Yeah. Right.
How the expectations have worked out?
Yes.
Well, I think on the whole, now looking back at it, with Stony Brook now almost, the Health Sciences Center almost, already 20 years old and approaching a quarter century, I would say that on the whole, my expectations and my plans have been fulfilled. Stony Brook is today an entity. All the things we had planned are there, not quite exactly as we planned them, but after all, this is understandable. It's a real world and it's not the ideal. So I have no problem with that. It has also achieved a degree of academic prominence and preeminence, which we had hoped for. Our hope was that it would be a scientifically first-rate institution and is regarded as such. That it would also be one that had done some things innovatively in medical education, and that is true, although less the case than its scientific preeminence. That we would have a hospital which would serve the community at a tertiary care institution, which it certainly has done.
Yeah.
That it would be a multi-school center in which there's cooperation between the schools, and I believe that at least has been present. So virtually all the goals we set for ourselves have been achieved. Slippages here and there, how you might do this or that, but I think one of the difficulties of founders to which I'm not subject is to become greatly stressed if the last iota of what they had in mind wasn't achieved. And some people say to me, oh, well, you know, what you hoped about this or that isn't there, and aren't you sorry that you left, or you shouldn't have left, it would have happened otherwise. And I said, no. The big piece has been done. We have something which wasn't there. It's a first-class center, regarded as such in the academic community, all of its schools for that matter. And I think that was well achieved. The integration with the university, which is one of the things I had hoped for, academically and intellectually, I don't think came out to the degree that I had hoped for. There are many, many reasons for it. We're fighting the point you made earlier, myopic, the disciplinary myopia from which we all suffer. But even then, I think there's as much or perhaps even more cooperation than you find in most medical centers and universities. My hope had been that biology and the basic sciences would be very closely tied together. And there's a tendency for the basic sciences to pull into the medical school and not be as closely related to the university as I had hoped they would be. And that's the strongest interface. The other interface, which I had very high hopes for, was with the humanities and social sciences, because of my own interest, particularly in humanities. And I think some of that is there, in fact. We do have a program in ethics there, a program in the history of medicine. I appointed people in the medical center who were acceptable to and appointed in departments in the university. Dan Fox in history, for example. Richard Zehner in philosophy. One of the certainly prominent phenomenologists and so on.
How do you spell Zehner?
Z-A-N-E-R.
Zehner.
Richard Zehner. He's now at Vanderbilt.
I see.
And so I think, really, when the final grades are in, it will be clear that most of what we set out, with the exception of some of the interstices of curriculum and things of that kind, which I don't consider that crucial, have been achieved. So therefore, I think my expectations have been worked out, and I want to pay great tribute to those who took over after I left and continued those things.
Who, for instance?
Well, I think Howard Oakes,
yeah,
and Dan Fox and Marvin Kushner would be the people who, at the administrative level, all of whom I recruited.
Did you appoint Elliot?
No. First hospital administrator I appointed was Peter Rogatz.
Yes.
And Peter left in distress, and I don't blame him one bit, over the backing and failing and changes that Albany made in the hospital. Albany made some serious mistakes. One of them, for example, was taking Goldberg's plan, which had been for reinforced concrete, when you design a building for reinforced concrete and then put in terms of steel and a very dubious sprayed concrete exterior surface, which I objected to strenuously and so did Goldberg, and which now has proven to be a disaster, having to be refurbished over and over again for things of that kind. Well, Lugatz was an experienced hospital administrator. He and I and his staff knew what we wanted. We knew better than anybody in Stony Brook. I'm definitive about what I know, and they just were not competent. They'd never planned a hospital from scratch, any of them in Albany. And I had already done two hospitals from scratch. So these things were errors. Going back to the plan, by the way, you had asked about Goldberg. And so we had preferred a multi-building plan. He came in with a megastructure, a single plan, which has some very attractive aspects to it. The idea of putting all into one structure, which I didn't think was wrong, but I felt it would hold things up, and also somewhat of an untested idea. And I know it's field architecture, but the mechanical problems of a megastructure are just enormous. And Mr. Goldberg pointed those out to us, too. On the other hand, I think that the megastructure idea is unique in a medical center, and I can't tell how it's working today, but I think